it's not like this has been extensively drill tested along the entire strike length of, you know, what we call the main iron carbonate horizon, which is the real gold bearing stratigraphic unit at Joutel. There's lots of open space. And so we targeted specifically on this 10,000 meters of this winter program. It's the first chance we've had to really drill the entirety of Joutel because we have 100% ownership. Mm-hmm. So we're not just limiting ourselves to a posted stamp size of just Eagle or, you know, just portions. We can target the entire strike length. And so we targeted things that were, you know, 100, more than 100 meter step outs from any of the mined out stopes, because if you hit similar grades and similar thicknesses in those areas, you can build ounces very quickly.
Kiran Patankar, Maple Gold Mines, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon, Andy. Great to see you again. Doing really well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. You look like a miner, man.
Yeah, well, I turned 50 since the last time we talked, so a little bit more, you know, older, but not necessarily wiser, but certainly a bit more grizzled. And, you know, we've got a lot going on with the company. It's very positive. So, yeah, I'm a miner at heart, so I'm glad I look the part.
Well, let's get into it. So I'll just give a background to all viewers and listeners. I met you about a year ago, not quite a year ago. You came to Atlanta, you presented, and to all my viewers and listeners, Kiran, I do this to people. I mean, I'm throwing fastballs and coming in heavy here, and Kiran just really hit it out of the park. And you had great feedback from the group here in Atlanta, just about your presentation and just really your feedback. I really appreciated that, good, bad, and ugly. And what I mean by ugly is just cleaning up the company. But let's talk about really where have you been in the last since I had you on last was about 6 months ago, I want to say 6 to 9 months ago. Bring me up to date.
Yeah. So, I mean, since we last spoke, we engaged in the largest drill program, you know, in the company's history. We started, it's a 30,000 meter program, 20,000 meters at Douay, 10,000 meters at Joutel. If you recall and your audience recalls, these are, you know, high upside, big district scale project, sits on a 500 square kilometer land package that we control 100% in Quebec with infrastructure. Current resource is roughly 3 million ounces. We expect that to grow. We've got a resource update, which is imminent. We've executed that program. We've certainly delivered some meaningful step out results, which I'm sure we'll get into at both Douay and Joutel. I think the focus of the program is it's step-out drilling. It's not infill programs. We're still growing the resource aggressively. But importantly, one of the things that's facilitated that enabled that is we have gotten tremendous support from the capital markets, right? And that is not by accident. You know, we continue to deliver on the milestones that we and the objectives that we set out. I think you and I talked about this when I first, you know, joined before we started recording, that it's a refreshing thing for us, especially at Maple with a bit of a history of not delivering on stated objectives and sort of over-promising and under-delivering, that we've been doing the opposite. You know, people that I'm meeting with as investors, you know, a year on from, you know, like at Swiss Mining Institute in March, for example, we met with European investors who are pretty skeptical of Canadian junior companies, mostly because they, you know, don't spend a lot of time on that side. Usually go over there with their hand out looking for money. We're really looking for the big long-term shareholder relationship building. And so it was really helpful for us, you know, a year on. I mean, our share price has appreciated, you know, 260-270% relative to the, you know, the gold price, which is up, you know, 50%, the GDX and GDXJ, which are up 60 or 70%. We continue to outperform. We've raised capital higher share prices, lower cost of capital, less dilution for shareholders. It's given us, we're currently sitting with roughly $30 million on the balance sheet. So where we talked in the last, when we talked about, you know, embarking on the company's largest drill program to date, which was this past winter, we're almost 78%, almost 80% as of this morning, complete with that program. We expect to complete it on time and on budget. We're gonna see that expanded further because we've got, you know, lots of ammunition, lots of, you know, balance sheet, capital. We expect to see the programs, expand dramatically between now and 2027. So, I mean, I think in total you can target between this 30,000 meters we just drilled, plus expecting another 60 to 70. You see, all told, almost 100,000 meters of drilling, new resource update, with some material advancement of some of the de-risking, the engineering, the scoping, which could lead to potential PEAs and PFSs, et cetera. So it's a pretty exciting time. Obviously, the company's valuation is, as of today, is circa 200 million. When I took over the company, it was roughly, 20. So we've increased in value, sort of 10x. But if you look at, the peer group and you look at, the relative valuation, I think it's still a tremendous opportunity. It's still trading at the lower end of the, per ounce valuations for, multi-million ounce gold projects in Canada, within striking distance of infrastructure. And I think because that resource was, from 2022 at $1,800 gold, it's out of date. And I think with this upcoming MRE, updated MRE at Douay and maiden MRE at Joutel, I think that's another big milestone for us to continue to garner a re-rate.
Yeah, so the lot in there, I'd like to unpack it a little bit and break it down some, but let's
Sure.
start with the drill program. You just had some great results, very high grade, I might add, very pleasantly. I don't want to say surprised, I was just happy. It made me happy. And for the record, I am a shareholder as well as Maple Gold Mines is a sponsor of natural resource stocks. But talk to me about the grade. And these are step outs. And I know the answer to this question, but I want you to answer it anyways. Talk to me a step out, the importance of doing that, and then perhaps filling in 27. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the importance of step out is when you have the kind of upside that we have here that has really, even though this project has been around for a long time, it's really been held by junior companies, with sort of limited risk appetite, right? Or if the risk was there, it may have not been matched with the sort of overall profile of the company. I think it's very important, we're trying to do, and we always have strived since I've taken over as CEO. A really a return on investment driven exploration model, right? Where every dollar of shareholder capital is extremely valuable. It's hard to raise money. Obviously, it's been a little easier with the gold price, the tailwinds in the gold price, but and there's fundamentals and macro, which we may or may not get into, but we don't control that, right? We don't control what happens in the equity markets and the capital markets and the Strait of Hormuz, for example. Unfortunately, but we do control running a good fundamental business. One of the thesis of having Agnico as a partner and seeing originally that what the upside potential of this overall land package was, I think we collectively felt that 3 million ounces was just sort of scratching the surface, right? At Douay, there's no resource currently for Joutel, although it was a past producing high grade mine with underground infrastructure. And it shut down in a very low gold price environment in 1993, and the cutoff grade there was 6 grams per ton. I think we'd be ecstatic to have something that was around 3, 4, 5 grams per ton, which didn't make cutoff in 1993, but at $4,800 gold, that becomes very interesting, especially with infrastructure and shafts already in place. If you think about Radisson, it's a similar similar type of story at Joutel to what they have at Radisson. Albeit, I think we really get limited to no value for Joutel today because I don't think the market quite grasps the opportunity where I think it will start to when we put that maiden resource out. So step out drilling, I mean, it's a I'll talk about Joutel. Remember, we have these big land package, two projects. So we'll talk about the high grade you mentioned. That's really Joutel, right? Joutel was a high grade past producing underground mine complex with a small open pit. They produced 1 million ounces at 6.5 grams, with a 6 gram cutoff. They basically mined most of the material. You look at the mined out stopes was probably circa 7, 8, 9, 10 grams per ton. Everything that fell below cutoff was sort of left behind. And importantly, a lot of that bigger sort of exploration, in a $300 sub $300 gold price environment, they weren't really doing a lot of that, right? So it's not like this has been extensively drill tested along the entire strike length of, what we call the main iron carbonate horizon, which is the real gold bearing stratigraphic unit at Joutel. There's lots of open space, and so we targeted specifically on this 10,000 meters of this winter program. It's the first chance we've had to really drill the entirety of Joutel because we have 100% ownership. So we're not just limiting ourselves to a postage stamp size of just Eagle or, just portions. We can target the entire strike length. And so we targeted things that were, 100, more than 100 meter step outs from any of the mined out stopes, because if you hit similar grades and similar thicknesses in those areas, you can build ounces very quickly, right? And that was really the goal of that program. We released two series of results from Joutel. The first six holes delivered some very good intercepts, including almost 80 gram meter. We're hitting similar grades to what they hit at the old mines underground.
That's great.
Circa 8 grams, where we intended, where we targeted, because we can see visually in the core when we hit that main iron carbonate horizon. It's very easy to spot, right? It's a little different from Douay, which is a bit more complex. Our guys are vectoring in on Douay as well, but I think there's a bit more predictability. I won't say it's a slam dunk, but I think our guys are really onto something at Joutel. And so as we've continued to hit the second series of holes, which we put out, again, a few weeks after, we delivered an even better intercept of almost close to 100 gram meters in another step. So we're hitting between the two dikes. There are two post-mineral dikes between Eagle West, Eagle Shaft, and Tell Bell Shaft. We're hitting between the dikes. We're hitting above the Tell Bell mine workings, closer to surface. We're hitting far farther along strike to the southeast. We expanded the program by another 2,000 meters, so that's gone from 10,000 to 2,000. But my goal, don't hold me to this because we're having board meetings currently to discuss this, is I have tried to set this company up. It was kind of hard to imagine when we were a 25 million struggling junior, but we're in a position now where we can do big company style drill programs, right? We have to spend the money the right way. We have to do it in ways. We don't just take a scattershot approach. But if we can build ounces rapidly at those grades that you tell, I think there's a real opportunity there, which I think it's going to come, to the market here shortly on the resource. But when we show the resource, our plan is to show the resource, but it's also like none of the drilling from this winter, the cutoff date for the resource was early November, right? So both at Douay and at Joutel, all of the drilling that we've done this over the past winter, plus all the planned drilling that we have for the second half of this year and 2027, none all of that is additive to whatever we're going to be putting out in a matter of weeks on the MRE. So I think that's, again, that underscores the importance of step out. Now, infill, I think the goal for us is to try to answer the question. I'll give you a little anecdote. I was on a call with an investor, with Ian Cunningham Dunlop, our executive vice president, who, by the way, that's another thing that we did since we last spoke. We brought on a very strong vice president of exploration, who's local, who's in Quebec. He worked with Glencore for over 30 years, and their predecessors, Xstrata, Falconbridge.
I read about him in the press release most recently. Go ahead.
Pascal Lessard, and so Ian, who's been doing an amazing job, really supporting not only the team at site but also corporate, can transition to more of a executive vice president, managing all of the studies. Still has his hands deep in the weeds on the geology, but we're building more of a solid technical team that can execute larger drill programs effectively. And the anecdote I wanted to share with you is we were on a call before we did our last raise. We had calls with, Canaccord led that raise. We did a non-deal marketing roadshow. We met a lot of groups that were not familiar with Maple, and then all of a sudden we're turning around and we're raising $16 million at, $2.40, which is a double over our previous raise of $13 million at $1.20. Those are good things.
Those are great things. Those are
Yeah, but
great things. Are you kidding?
these are great. So we're pleased, but this investor asked a question. He kind of put Ian on the spot, and I did, and I really enjoyed this. He said to Ian, and I don't think Ian and I had talked about this or we had prepared him, but this is where you're working with the right people and you've got the right team in place. And my leadership style is also, I'm not going to insert myself into a question that's directly asked to, a colleague. So the comment asked that was asked to Ian was, "Mate," these are Aussies, right, from Perth. "Mate, how much do you think it's going to take for you to tell us whether you think it's 5, 7, or 10 million ounces?" Right? Now, that's a bit of an arm wavy, so don't. I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit
That's a
hole, but
question I would ask, but go ahead, go ahead.
right. But Ian, and I was thinking about it, going, "Oh man, my wheels start turning." Like, "Oh man," he's asking it to Ian, what's Ian going to say, whatever. And you know, Ian actually looked at me, Secure, and, do you want to take that one? I said, no, you know, you why don't you take it? And he answered it. Honestly, Andy, he answered it better than I could have ever answered it. He just looked right at the camera. And he said, if Kieran gives me 100,000 meters of drilling, I think we're going to crack this thing wide open.
Whoa, great answer and
Okay,
music to my ears.
right. But just think about, unpack that answer for just a second. I know we're digressing a bit, but it's been a while. So I love talking to you. So he thinks not in terms of dollars, right? He thinks in terms of meters, which means he's thinking about it the right way. The job of raising the money lies with me and the capital markets side of the business. The technical is, what kind of spacing do we need? What are the size of the targets? What are the sizes of the prizes? How many meters do you think you need where you start? And then we can always think about, what's our average all-in drill cost per meter? Roughly $300 per meter. That means $30 million gets us answers to real questions, right? That we need to
Easy
deliver,
math.
not, right? So, and you look at our balance sheet today, it's $30 million.
$30 million.
So when we talk in our press releases, you know, a lot of companies throw out, you know, we're fully funded for this and fully funded for that. We're going to be coming out with a well-articulated plan for, where do we continue to see step out opportunities at Joutel, at Douay? Are there selected infill opportunities where we can actually take, you know, indicated or inferred to indicated in preparation for, you know, the economic studies and all these other things? We're going to lay out the vision of how we expect to spend that, you know, balance sheet capital that we have to spend between now and 2027. We also have over 5 million in hard dollar. We've got in deep in the money warrants. So the company, to summarize, it's on an incredible footing, but it still is going a bit, you know, we still see the stock trading, you know, kind of on macro news, which, you know, I get it. That's what is healthy, you know, in healthy capital markets, you see, you know, corrections. You know, we've been on a pretty steady upward trajectory. So we saw a pretty big drop off down to, you know, a
That
dollar
suit
80, I think.
everybody, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think these are buying opportunities, you know, because, you know, the fundamental business, you know, if we had to raise money at that point, if we didn't time our raises the way we did, if we didn't set the company up for success as we have, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting it was just going to go continue to go straight up and saying, well, we'll just hold on until we get a higher price. Sometimes, you know, you got a quality shareholder base that wants to put more money in. And by the way, for what it's worth, that last raise that we did, you know, just try to play catch up here, that raise was completed in February. It was 4.5 times, 5 times, almost 5 times oversubscribed institutionally.
It's awesome.
And Canaccord, which is a, you know, new group to Maple, you know, bigger firm, you know, all the elements of, you know, distribution in, you know, the UK and Europe and the US and Australia. We had they said they it was one of the best junior company books they've seen in several years, right, at the time it was done. And you know, so I think, well, let's get back to the drilling, but that's all, that's a kind of a nutshell of what step out drilling looks like at Joutel. And we can talk about Douay if you
Yeah,
want to, or somewhere else.
let's talk about both. But I do want to say that is a great 30,000-foot view of getting us up to speed. Very pleased with that. I guess yes. Talk about really the plan here. We have the results. You can talk a little bit about that or Douay that just came out. I want to say 3 days ago, 4 days ago. I can't remember, but when I saw them. But talk to me about the plan. Since going forward now, take me through the next three to, well, really take me through the next end of the year. Yeah, what is the plan now?
Sure. So just starting with the first point on the results that came out last week. Again, we released, I think it was 14 holes from Douay. So if you add that to the, or maybe it was 12, the 6 holes that we released, the first batch with Joutel, and then another 6 holes. So we released roughly 24 drill holes
Yeah,
total,
love the aggression,
right?
Karen.
Out of 55 that, you know, as of this morning when I talked to the team, you know, the meterage is approximately 28, 26, 27,000 meters completed out of 32. So just over 80%. And the number of holes that we've completed is 55. So we've got a lot more drilling assay results, you know, coming. We said we were going to have a steady stream of assay results. It took a little bit longer. Everybody has money, everybody's drilling. And so, you know, turnaround times have gotten better. We've done some operational improvements, obviously, to improve our turnaround, which helps guide our drilling.
Real quick pause, real quick pause. So all my viewers and listeners, you need to pay attention really over the next few weeks to several weeks and months, because they got a lot of news flowing. Read between the lines. Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, so the Douay results, they continue. One of the things, I think the biggest takeaway from these recent Douay results is that, our team has done a lot of work, and companies talk about it all the time, but you and I have talked about this as well. The rethink of the project technically was designed to give us a better, not only a better geological model for Douay, but also a better targeting model to go out and look at, not just drilling more ounces, because we know we've got a big endowment at surface and we're looking for the plumbing system and extensions, both at depth and along strike. But we're looking for specifically the potential. We hit that 338 intercept at the Nika zone last year. I mean, that was 2 grams, 109 meters of 2 grams, with 55 meters of 3 grams, and 17 meters of 5 grams, right? That's bulk tonnage underground mineable all day. When you start to hit that, we designed a program to do some step outs around that hole. We've now defined mineralization along what we call the Nika plunge down to 900 meters vertical. So instead of just doing these, moonshot, let's that deep drill program, for example, which preceded my taking over the company, it was, we weren't looking at specific targets. We're just saying, okay, the company was saying, well, we're just going to drill 2,000 meter deep holes, spend $1 million a piece, and hope we come up with something. This is much more systematic. There's a reason and a rationale, for why we believe that Nika plunge. It's a controlling structure. There are some cross plunges that are, we believe are controlling higher grade, but we're specifically targeting that, and not just in the Nika zone. Like, we targeted that same plunge in the 531 zone, all the way on the western, sorry, the eastern portion of the Douay deposit, which is 6 kilometers, along strike, and in the middle, in the porphyry zone. So one of the results we put out was in the porphyry west area. And that was kind of typical alkaline intrusive sort of porphyry hosted gold mineralization that, everybody kind of said, okay, this is, there's a, it's homogeneous, it's lower grade, there's a lot of it there. And we hit a gram over 138 meters, fairly shallow, in a very open area within. So that, right away, you start looking at those two things. We're saying, A, it's confirmation that this Nika plunge isn't just at Nika, that there is a fabric that we're seeing, evidence that it's starting, to be repeated. If you can start to use that, and again, we're not drilling. One of the things that I think it's important for the market to look at is these are incrementally positive, because we're sitting with over 3 million ounces at surface. So when you drill, I would argue that Douay is at that point of critical mass where one individual or two individual drill holes isn't going to necessarily, be a barn burner, right? In terms of the fundamentals of the Douay project. But we're steadily building these kind of 100 gram meter. And in the case of Nika, one of the holes that we encountered at Nika was 0.4 grams, doesn't get you that excited, but 0.4 grams over almost 360 meters. That's a big, if you think about the
That's a lot of
volume,
gold
it's a lot.
at shallow, yep.
So what you're looking for is, you're looking for these holes is, as opposed to in the past where we had arm wave, we say, well, that's a spectacular grade thickness intercept. It is, but at these depths, it's sub-economic, right? What it does tell us is that the system is fertile, that it's alive and well where we're drilling. It just takes a bit more. So what we're probably going to do, this is a nice segue into what do we do when we finish this 30,000 meters at, of the winter, 32,000 meters with the additional 2,000 meters at Joutel, what are we going to be doing? My hope in setting up this company was, as we said, we're going to do big company drill programs. That means potentially year-round drilling, right? We've got a camp where you've got fixed infrastructure that costs money. The more you can drill during the year, the lower your all-in drill cost, because the fixed costs are fixed, right? So if you're not drilling, your cost per meter is through the roof. It's asymptotic. So, and part of me looks at Joutel, it's higher and drier. We're hitting high grade. We're hitting it, more predictably along a known zone. I think we can continue with a rig through the summer, subject to board approval. I think we can continue with a rig through the summer at Joutel, take a bit of a pause on Douay. We're going to do some core scanning this summer, which is about 15,000 meter program. That's kind of big boy exploration that gives us a lot more data. Agnico, for example, uses the company that we're using, Geologic AI, Agnico uses it for all of their core. So we're taking a recommendation there from our big brother about, things that we think we could do creatively, to unlock better targeting and better understanding of the Douay system.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of news flow, I would expect a steady stream of these winter results, through the summer, probably going into June, mid to late June. I expect to see this resource MRE update, maiden resource at Joutel and updated MRE at Douay. Expect to see that in a matter of weeks.
Love to get you on when the does hit.
Yeah, it could come sooner rather than later. We'll see what what they're finishing up. So, SLR, it's a robust process. I think you're going to
Sure.
see, without foreshadowing too much, we've seen some companies, peer group companies, come out with resources, of late that I think we're going to stack up very favorably against. Just given we think that 2022 resource was conservative. We used, it was Agnico and Maple that had to vet and verify and put that out as a joint venture. We now have 100% control. So the last thing we want to do is to go from that approach to something that's a bit more, aggressive, right, in terms of gold
Right.
price assumption or cost assumption. So we're being rigorous. We're doing good engineering work. So I think that's critical. And then I think the next press release and the next update beyond that is going to be, what are we doing next? Right, with this balance sheet capital that we have, how are we taking whatever the number is that we end up with on the MRE? If you can see where the growth potential is on that resource from, the current drilling, where is the 30,000, $30 million that we have on the balance sheet? Where is that going to be deployed? It'll
Yeah.
be very clear visually, where is it going to be deployed to show that this can go from potentially five to, something much bigger, right? Because I think once you get from three to five, you're starting to get on more radars in terms of a major scale project that has, real upside.
I
And if
think
you
you're right
can,
there too, but go ahead, go ahead.
but I think it's, again, if this does have the potential to get, to grow, and we certainly believe it does, it's about finding the balance between, we don't want to turn it into a science project and just drill forever. But we also don't want to just constrain thinking by going with early economics on something that has the potential to, fundamentally change if we do the right exploration and we grow the ounces substantially. So I think we're trying to take a dual track approach to both. And I think investors are going to see answers, as I've said before, answers to key questions about this, these deposits are coming in the next 6, 12, and 18 months, fully
You know,
funded.
I'm really glad that you said that and put it that way, the dual approach, because I have two frustrations. When a geologist is running a company, they want to drill, right?
When you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. That's why,
Yeah,
right?
they want to pull a lot, which is that's what I want, right? But yeah, I also want to see the process of becoming a mine, right? And the problem, and that's what finance guys want to do, but yet then they cut off the resource or they don't build it as big as it could be, if you would. So I'm glad you mentioned that you really do want a dual approach in these. So you're thinking strategically of what makes the most sense to bring value to shareholders. So I appreciate that.
And one of the things that we did by bringing Pascal Lassard on is it frees Ian, right, from,
Yeah.
he's thinking all the time about geology, but he's a professional engineer, right? He's
Right.
been involved with advanced development projects throughout his career. The people that we've added to the board, I should mention, one of the other key things we did was we brought Dustin Isaacs on as our chairperson. Dustin was the chief legal counsel at Turquoise Hill Resources. That was, if you recall, and your audience may recall, that was one of the most complex M&A deals in history, Canadian history. Ultimately a $4.3 billion acquisition by Rio Tinto. This is the Oyu Tolgoi asset, and
Well
so
done.
we brought a and he's just a person with incredible integrity. I mean, I think across the board, one of the most rewarding parts of being, with Maple 2.0, right, as it were, is just the caliber of the management team, the people that are working hard on the ground, the board, the advisors. Obviously, Michael Gentile, has been an incredible supporter of ours, continues to support on every raise. He just gave an interview, I think, with Peter Grandich, where, in a week he had bought shares in the market, he had early exercised warrants, and he had participated in a financing, like, all at the same time. And he said that's pretty rare for him. But we've got him. We've got Paul Harbidge on the strategic and technical advisory side, and the ship is sailing in, I think, the right direction. Because everyone is engaged, everyone is aligned with shareholders, and I think we've got a great market here we should take advantage of.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the overall market here just in just one second. But I was talking actually to Michael, and he made a comment to me. This was 6, 9 months ago, Michael Gentile, and he said, what do you look for as team? Jurisdiction, rock. And he goes, at the end of the day, the rocks are the rocks. So he looks at the rocks. That being said, when you get a great team, when you have a great team that's well capitalized, that's when the magic happens. And those are my words, not him, his. So it looks like the stars are aligning. And we, like you just said, the ship's going in, everybody's in going in the right direction. But let's talk really macro real quick. So we had this huge run-up, then we had a sell-off in gold and in the equities. I looked at it as a, and I talked to Michael Gentile about this. That is a great opportunity. That was in last just a few weeks ago, and excuse me, in March. What's your view? Give me your 30,000 foot view just of the overall market, not only in gold, but in also in the junior shares. I thought things were getting quite frothy. I think I even asked you about that question when I had you on. It seems like the froth is gone, and there's a lot of value now. And there was always value, but I mean, there's deep value now to talk about that.
Yeah, and listen, I'd be sort of preface whatever I'm going to say by saying, I don't have a crystal ball and I'm not a macroeconomic sort
Of
of
course.
prognosticator, right? So I do try to focus on running a good fundamental business and focusing on the things that, we can control, like our delivering returns to shareholders, keeping our costs in line, advancing a potential tier one asset in a great jurisdiction, and so all of that, is said is the why of that is we've got one of the best gold markets that I've seen in my career, and your audience knows I was an investment banker for years. I was a geologist and engineer before that, and it's there's been some windows where I think the gold price has been constructive, where you can raise capital, where broader participants in the gold market are starting to deploy some of that capital, even down the cap table into the juniors. But it's been over, call it since I graduated from School of Mines in 1999, when the gold price was 270, oil price was $17 a barrel. Imagine that,
Right. Yeah.
right?
I
Where it
was in the
is.
market then, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so you look at the setup today, right? Usual global instability. I mean, unfortunate. It's really unfortunate to see what's happening in the world. And I always kind of said it's a devil's bargain to be in the gold business, because what happens in gold is, it's kind of a hedge against human misery, right? The more the
Yeah.
world, goes into the trash bin, the better the gold price seems to do, because it is a bit of protection against, other forces, not just the instability, but also there is a real, the de-dollarization trade, the issue that the US is having with managing its sort of fiscal, policy and its debt and rolling over treasuries. I mean, I'm an American and a Canadian, right? So I think generally it's been a pretty bad bet to bet against the US. But I think we're seeing evidence that, there is something sustainable. When gold price, fell dramatically, on sort of the news on the war, because of, I don't know if these were just because of inflationary, worries, that, the gold industry and mining in general is very dependent on oil, and sort of the look through is to diesel prices. I mean, you look at a company like Agnico Eagle, our partner. I mean, they hedge most of their oil exposure, and their earnings are through the roof at these kinds of gold prices, and so their balance sheets are insulated. The senior companies have done the right things. They've done step one, which was deleveraging and cleaning up any expensive debt that was on their it was overhanging on their balance sheet. They then looked at delivering returns to their shareholders via buybacks and dividends. And we're now starting to see, if you noticed, I'm sure your investors noticed, and you noticed, that there was a big M&A transaction just yesterday, involving Agnico and a number of companies in Finland, Rupert and Orion, and a JV with B2. This is, to me, this is sort of rational for where we find ourselves, is that it is appearingly, sorry, appearingly, it is increasingly evident that in this market, where you've got, almost $5,000 gold, but you've got junior company valuations that are still, peer group per ounce valuations are, kind of where they were when gold was at 1800. So $30 an ounce of maple, trading value, or $60 an ounce for our peer group. This is chump change to big companies. It's a lot cheaper for them, to buy ounces, excuse me, than it is for them to
Go find it.
to go find it. And increasingly, those companies are being rated on things that, as the bigger Agnico gets, the bigger the kind of opportunities that actually move the needle. So it sort of goes back to our business model of, as a junior, you start putting yourself into, you want to find what Warren Buffett, always said, you find these assets that are irreplaceable, right? Something that has, major scale potential, that has exploration upside, that has a good jurisdiction with a great team, with infrastructure. There's really, as you start whittling down your filter, there are only a handful of those companies. Then the question you have to ask yourself is, what are the relative valuations, pros and cons of those companies? What are the relative valuations? Which one of these companies do you want to own? Right. And I think, what will allow us to be a little bit more in the apples to apples comparison with that handful of Canadian gold companies with 3+ million ounces and infrastructure is when we have this updated resource. It'll be pretty apparent, as you can see the assumption. What was the gold price assumed? What are the cutoff grades? How many ounces do you have indicated, measured, inferred? What's the strip ratio? What's the, recovery? Like, all these various sort of components, and where is it located? And say, okay, is something like Maple trading at, $15, $20, $30 per ounce? Is that discount to the other peer group companies, is it warranted, or is that a buying opportunity? Right. And I think that's, most junior companies remain undervalued. I think, investors that have been buying on the dip here have been well rewarded, because I think the fundamentals, not just in gold, but other precious metals, copper, other, like, we're just having a harder time finding high quality deposits across the globe to support, industrial growth and, monetary, policy that's promoting demand from central banks and from individual investors and smart family offices and institutions for some kind of diversification away from, fiat currencies and things that are denominated in fiat currencies. So I think
Well
Maple,
said.
in that light, I think Maple is exceptionally well positioned, because while we have had, in absolute terms, as I said, since we first started talking, maybe 10x, appreciation in our valuation from a share price perspective, we have had to raise a bit of money. I mean, we really tried to take an approach of, I want to deliver per share returns, right? Like, ounces per share and value per share is really important, because your valuation of 200, 300, 400 million, if you have to dilute like crazy to kind of get there, that's not the intent. And for us, we took only as much capital on each round that we needed to kind of get to that next step change, re-rating. And now we're funded through 2027, which is the first time in the company's history that we can say that, where we've got more than almost 2 years worth of both hard dollar and flow through to really go out and execute.
Fantastic. So, Kieran, let's land the plane here. If people want more info, you're going to be in Atlanta. Really looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta. And the investors here in Atlanta have talked about you coming back. So they're looking forward to seeing you. But if people want to do more research on you, if they want to buy you, what exchanges, what's your website, and what exchanges are you traded on? And what are your tickers?
Thank you for the opportunity, and I am very much looking forward to getting back to Atlanta to spend some time with you and meet some new investors, as well as some investors that we met at a lovely dinner that we had last year. So, for those that would like to get a bit more info on Maple, if you're not going to be at that conference, please go to our website. It's maplegoldmines.com. Everything's up to date there: current presentation, all the information, recent interviews, etc. We trade on the TSX Venture under the symbol MGM. We also trade on the OTCQX. We did do an uplisting since the last time we talked. We're on the higher tier of OTC in the US, and we trade under the symbol MGMLF. And then we trade in Frankfurt under the symbol of M3GO. So those are our three exchanges. You've got lots of information on the website, SEDAR Plus, SEDI. And look forward to meeting people in person. If not at Atlanta, we've got a couple other things coming up. It's all listed on the website. We've got a conference in Vegas with Canaccord. We've got the Quebec City, the mining investment event of the
I'll be
North.
there.
Okay, well, good. Well, we'll see a couple of times and have lots of updates to share with you and with your audience as well. So.
Fantastic, Kieran. Always a pleasure, Kieran. Maple Gold Mines. Look forward to seeing you in Atlanta, and looking forward to having you on the show again here really soon.
Thank you so much, Andy. Great to talk to you.
It's always my pleasure.
Mine too.